Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
It was a night out that just went completely pear-shaped, but it was fabulous at the same time. He went, I've got a current England international wearing a fucking EMU costume, and I've got one of the best physios in the country wearing a fucking tutu. I went, I'm not going to the bench. He went, I think you are, like. I went, I'm fucking not. And he went, it's Terry. And I went, Terry who? And he went, Terry Venables. And I went, fuck off. And I put the phone down. I weed in it. And Stoney shit in it. But Eileen Drury basically picked the squad. Like, you could see a car pulled into the lay-by with some blue lights flashing with a police car behind, and it would be the physio being pulled out of the car with his hands on the bonnet. I had 3 years left in my contract, which was worth a good couple of million, and I just went, you know what, stick your money up your ass. I walked out the door, and I didn't really play again after that, to be fair.
Steve Howard part two, gents.
All right, Chris.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sorry.
We'll say, right. say hello before we get into it.
Hello. Rude.
I would say
hello to everybody out there as well, listening and watching. Hope you're all well.
You look good again.
Oh, I always do.
You're on a diet, aren't you? Again.
Day one.
Yeah.
No, day seven, I'll have
Is
you
it?
Know. Yeah, all last week I did it.
Well, you can't
I'm on the march. Fuck off.
Well, I want you
I'm
to
on the march. I was 86, no, 80.3 and now I'm 79.2. So...
This is going to be a test, isn't it? Because we're away for 4 days.
Basically, you've lost a big shit then, haven't you? You've dieted for a week and lost a big turd.
Yeah, this will be the test, because we're out and about for a week, haven't we?
We are fucking grafting our knackers off.
Leeds versus Crystal Palace tonight.
In London, though, but it's Palace-Leeds, but...
All of a sudden, it's become a massive game, hasn't it?
Yeah.
When we decided we were going, I thought it was just going to be another dead rubber, but...
What about Newcastle?
On the march.
On the march? Jesus Christ, another 10 games left, they'd have a chance of getting in Europe. We're laughing.
He's done well,
hasn't he?
He's done well, because, I mean, they've spent a bit of money, but not many of them have played.
No, Trippier hasn't, has he?
Trippier, yeah. I mean, the other lads haven't, the Burn and the lad in midfield, whatever they call
he's
him.
He's just started playing him, though.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, he didn't play for ages.
Yeah.
What about these new bits of kit?
Yeah, nice.
I'm not a sponsor, but I'm going to go for this route.
Yeah, yeah.
Fucking hell, who do you think you
are? Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, we got some new mics, haven't we?
Impressive,
new
aren't they?
Stands. Yeah.
Yeah, Newcastle, outrageous. Yeah. What about Richarlison, by
no,
the way?
No, it's Richard Alson.
Richard Alson, oh yeah.
Richard Alson.
Richard Alson. Did Carragher get some stick for giving him some
well,
stick?
Well, to be fair, I think Carragher went a bit fan mode, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, a bit too...
I'll tell you what, though, he
went... Get up!
He weren't wrong, though. Fucking hell, all right, Jimmy, calm down. He weren't wrong, though, were he?
No, I mean, he were...
I think everybody were agreeing with him at home.
Well, the one that got me were when he headed a corner away and run 15 yards and then went down. So he'd been fucking Billy Whitehurst.
The one when he did have a go at him was a bit harsh because he nearly snapped his ankle. Well, he like thingy with his ankle. Then he went, oh, I might have been a bit harsh on there, Richarlison there.
Think
he's gone over his ankle.
I think one of the ones when he's headed a football and then 15 yards later gone down like he'd been shot.
He's guaranteed in 90 minutes you're going to see him with his hands over his face laid horizontal.
At least three times. Mate, what about him? He's the best player in the world, him.
Who?
Divock Origi. He's fucking sensational, isn't he?
Is his contract up?
Oh, aye.
Is it?
Do you think he wants to stay? Do you think he's comfy?
He's 27.
Is he?
Mm.
To be fair, though, right? Do you know?
He's a legend, though, still, he.
He's fucking right, he is. Goals. Do you know, as far as, like, obviously a lot of these modern players get stick on that, right? He must be an incredible lad, money. Do you know, like, because he don't play, very rarely comes on unless they're really struggling. But whenever he does come on, he seems to, like, try his nuts off, doesn't he?
Yeah. I think they actually said yesterday, didn't they?
That's Klopp. Like getting him to buy into the club and the team. Do you not remember Lonna's saying that he was he was incredible in training?
Yeah.
He was the best.
Was he the best finisher?
Yeah, best finisher, number one.
But like the attitude that he's like, because he hadn't played for what, 3 years?
He does his job when he comes on though, doesn't
exactly,
he?
Exactly, what a great lad he must be.
He's proper super sub though, because he don't really do it when he plays, does he?
Well, they said if it wasn't Everton yesterday, he wouldn't have put him on. Probably wouldn't have even been on the bench.
Man for the big occasion.
Well, just always because it was Everton against Everton.
6-10 or something.
Yeah, I'm like that though. Like big occasion, like a wedding or something.
You
like
turn
that.
Up.
Turn up.
Like, you tend to turn up for some of these podcasts.
Go for a pint, like I'll just have a pint in the corner, but wedding, knee slide.
Yeah.
He's arrived.
Sweat.
Yeah.
Tie around the head.
But it
fans.
Fans of it has got very interesting down here at the bottom, hasn't it? Since Burnley's picked up 7 points, hasn't they, since the Potter Dyche?
Yeah. Leeds are in trouble, Matty.
We'll find out tonight, won't we, if they're in trouble.
It's turned into a massive game for Leeds tonight.
Oh, live shows, gentlemen. We've got some dates.
Have we?
We have. I've not got them on me. they'll be on Twitter tomorrow.
Back end of the year, innit, though?
Yeah. So August, maybe a bit of a late August, early September. The Manchester rescheduled date from the Christmas party.
4th, I think.
Is that the 4th? So yeah, but a few live shows coming up in August, September. So the dates will be out and be on Twitter in the next couple of days and Instagram and Facebook and all that jazz.
So you just sack me off on the relegation dogfight, yeah? Shall we move on or are we halfway through?
I've never seen you so passionate about a football conversation.
Halfway through. If Matt has asked me to really bring it up.
So who's going down?
Do you know what? I think Everton, I've seen their fixtures. They're fucking fucked.
Fucked.
They're fucking
Everton
fucked.
Everton are fucked. That's why you don't get a job on BBC, John.
Probably, but I think they're good.
Opinion on the relegation dogfight? We've got John Parkin.
Fucking Everton are fucked. I think Leeds will get a point tonight.
Yeah. Howie was good, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. Howie.
Oh, Howie won.
I think 2's better.
Yeah?
The England stories are incredible and probably one of, if not the favourite story. Roddle. That's all I'm going to say. You'll know when it happens.
Yeah. I've got it now.
That's all I'm going to say. Right, shall we get him in then? Yeah. Have we got any more business?
On that very point, I seen somebody messages on Twitter saying, lads, it's a waste of time saying get him in then.
I know.
You see it? Lads, it's a waste of time. We know he's not there. You know what I mean?
Don't ruin the illusion, John.
But as if somebody's thought, it's pissing me off that.
I know.
Like, they said, should we get him in? And it's winding him up. So, come on, Steve. Get your sending big one.
So
hold on, someone at the door.
It's just the fact that this is going to cut. The trailer will come on and then we'll be in a completely different room. And people are getting pissed off about it.
Come on, Steve. Fucking hell, we want to get going.
He's going to be pissed off when he finds out we're in St. Albans.
How was Joe Royal?
Joe Royal? Brilliant. I went down there. As I said, I'd gotten the initial thing off Sir Bobby just before training. And I says, I'll go today. you know, what's the point of hanging on when your manager's more or less sort of saying,
you can leave.
So I just thought, all right, fine. I'm not here where I'm not wanted. So I met up with Joe, and Joe was like, listen, because Man City had gone from the depths of despair, let's be honest, and he'd sort of said, you know, we're going to do some good things. I think there was, I signed Alfie Inge Haaland, Lauren Xavi and George Weah. Remember George Weah? The four of us signed. Anyway, we started the season pretty promisingly, and then that went just downhill. Do you know, like, teams that's come up start really well and then just bomb. Yeah. And that's what we did. We bombed completely and got relegated. But I loved Joe. I thought he was a lovely man, lovely person. Still see him when I go to Everton games. But I can remember I was in San Francisco and I got a phone call. Joe's gone. And I was like, who's the new manager? Kevin Keegan. I was like, oh, right, okay, let's do this one again.
You must be thinking, fucking hell, if Carlsberg did managers.
Well, do you know what the funny thing was? You know, Kevin did exactly the same as what he did at Newcastle, because we were not great. And then all of a sudden we had this team, and I kid you not, it was a fantastic team. There was me, there was Richard Dunn and Sylvain Distan in the back. We had Ile Bergovic, who was a very, very good player. We had this player who played for Monaco called Ali Benabia. Oh my good God, absolute magician with the ball. So we had Ali Benabia, we had Darren Huckabee, who was at Newcastle with me, who, when I spoke previously about them five-a-sides, just didn't really handle it, but his pace was devastating. We had Sean Wright Phillips the other side, we had Nicholas Anelka, Paolo Wanchope up front, but we also had Paul Dickoff, Sean Gorter, Kevin Horlock, Gerard Vikens, Danny Teato, all these players.
Players you played throughout your career is incredible. Like when you start listing them all through Newcastle and Man City.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't even touched on the England part yet, yeah. But it was just an absolute pleasure. And I was lucky as well because it was at the proper main road. You know, yeah. The Etihad's nice, but it's not main road.
Yeah.
Were you playing that game when Keane did Highland? Or the reverse fixture?
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was coming. Bear in mind, the history of that was Alfie was playing for Leeds and obviously Roy was at Man U. And if you look at the footage, I think Alfie's just trying to shepherd the ball out for it to go out for a goal kick. And Keane lashes out and obviously does his knee. Alfie doesn't know. I've spoke to Alfie about this. He didn't know. And obviously, Keane's on the floor. He's done his knees in absolute agony. And Alfie's bent over and said something to them. Was it Roy's fault? Possibly, yes. But I think he was aggrieved at the fact that Alfie had said something, but Alfie didn't know he was in that much distress.
Did he ever tell you what he said?
Well, he probably would have called him a C-U-N-T, in all fairness. Yeah. But I just think it was just like, you know, the Man U Liverpool Leeds games, like, you know, the atmosphere and the rivalry amongst them. So Alfie's obviously said that Roy's never forgetting it. And of course, we were in the dressing room. And I think it's a game where they can actually relegate us as well because we're struggling. And in the tunnel, he was going, I'm going to do you. You're getting it. You're getting it. So we all knew he was going to get it. Like, it was only
I was just about to ask, was there any inkling that he might be, after revenge? But
it was like, like I said, we just knew it was coming. And as I said, even if he hadn't said anything in the tunnel, then we knew it was still going to come. It was inevitable. And of course, the ball comes to Alfie and he doesn't. I think Roy's walking away before he's even shown the card. I think myself and Paul Dickoff say something to Roy as he walked past. He blanks us and just walks away. But I mean, it's not a great challenge. But as I said, we knew it was coming. And I've spoke to Alfie before it happened and afterwards it happened. And he sort of said, look, he tried to do me initially when he actually hurt his knee. He says, I couldn't understand why he was like so grave. But I mean, listen, you watch him now and when he's on the TV, Roy Keane, and he's absolutely brilliant. He says it how it is. Obviously agreed with Alfie and wanted to take vengeance upon him.
It's quite just scary watching the clip of it, because he is just walking off, takes his armband out, not a care in the world.
No.
He's just... Well, he hurt him, didn't he? Did he do? Was it his cruciate? Did Haaland do
his
cruciate?
He's done his knee. He had to retire because of that as well.
So that was him. Killed his career.
So I think, Alfie was out for ages, and I think he tried absolutely all kinds to come back, but he just couldn't come back. So, you know, it was just one of them ones he had to retire. But having said that, he's got a son that plays now. That's not too bad.
He's half decent, and he's got half a chance.
Yeah, he's got half a chance, to be fair. But I mean, Alfie was a good lad. The lads liked him. And it was just a sad way to end your career when you know it's kind of premeditated. Whether they've spoken since, I don't know. But
do you think
you'd hold it against him though, wouldn't you? Do you know in terms of him getting his?
You think if it wouldn't have been a bigger game for you, you could have got relegated. The manager might have just thought, I tell you what, I'll just drag him out. I'll not play him.
I don't know. I mean, as I said, we got absolutely pumped that day, but we drew 1-1. I actually scored, which is. I wasn't that bad at Man City goals wise either as well, but look, you'd have thought in some respects that maybe Sir Alex might have just thought, listen, I'm just going to pull you out, Roy, you know, because everybody knew what was going to happen, the build up before the game and stuff like that. But I mean, I've never met Roy Keane. I used to live next to him when I lived in Manchester, and I can remember Richard Dunn saying, if it's obviously Dunny knew him from the Republic of Ireland and stuff like that. And this is why I'm thinking, it's bizarre, he's never met me. Can remember Blockbusters, where you used to get the videos and stuff like that? I used to live in a place called Hale in Borden in Manchester. And Keane and Brian Robson and all them and a lot of other players used to live around that area. And I was just taking some videos back to Blockbusters. And Roy Keane must have seen me taking them back. And anyway, he said to Dunny on the coach, he's gone, what's how are you like? And Dunny's gone, oh, he's a good lad, you know, he's decent, he's good in the dressing room and I like him and all that. And he went, I've seen him going to Blockbusters, looks a bit of a cunt to me. And I went, really? He's got to use the C word. And he doesn't even know who I am.
We'll take you some videos, man.
As if there's like a cuntish way to take your videos back.
I'm just walking about with a couple of videos. And
I'll be slipping Alfie's address. Get Kes spiring a tree outside his house. Really pounce on him. But in terms of the dressing room and everything at City, I mean, like you said, Dunny and the lads.
Yeah, we had really good lads. Fitting. You know, I mean, I've mentioned the players. You know, we had another lad who was absolutely brilliant. God bless his soul. We had Mark Vivian Four. And I was number 24. Mark was 23 and Dunny was 22. So you sat next to each other where your squad number was. And obviously me and Dunny used to go out quite a lot at the time, the right time at Man City. And Dunny used to live on his own. And sometimes I used to go to Dunny's gaff and have a couple of beers with him. And Sylvain Distan used to live on the flat underneath him. And Sylvain was really kind of straight, you know, great athlete, looked after his body and stuff like that. Me and Dunny just trained and played as, you know, we would. And Sylvain complained. He came to us in the dressing room. Any more noise, I am going to see the manager. This is too loud. This is too loud.
He complained to the manager about the flat above.
No, he was going to do that, but he complained to me and Dunny. Me and Dunny was sitting there, and Marco was in between us. And he went, any more like this noise? And even Marco went, tell him to fuck off. And he was the nicest man you could ever meet. So me and Dunny went, all right, then fine. So me and Dunny went out and we brought a shed load of people back to Dunny's gaff and we blasted the music and we were all going, the roof was on fire. Sylvain was not happy the next year. I have got no comment. I am not seeing the manager, but this is not acceptable. I am moving.
So you're going back to the club?
No, he moved house.
How did you end up leaving City?
I had a fallout with Kevin because he'd asked me to go on the bench. I thought I was playing really well. And he asked me to go on the bench. And we had Terry Mack was there. Derek Vazakli was there. Arthur Cox, old school Arthur Cox. And I kind of, for some reason, I just felt as though Kevin was being a bit weird. Obviously, I know him really well. And do you know when you get like the kind of the curly finger and the custard pie's coming? We were sat there before we were leaving. The bus was outside and we were going to Aston Villa again. And Kevin was basically pulling in players like, listen, I'm going to play here, you're going to be here. And then I just thought, he's done a couple of plays, which is kind of, I think he pulled Gerard Vikens and said something to Gerard. And I knew Gerard would play in that centre of Sylvain Distan and Dunny on the other side. And he pulled Gerard and I thought, again, I'm getting dropped here. And I've never, ever been dropped. Not once I've been dropped. I've been on the bench, but that's me once coming back from an injury. Otherwise, I've played. And I thought I was actually playing really well. And he brought me in. He went, I'm just going to put you on the bench today. And straight away, before he even finished, when you can fuck off. And he went, well, what do you mean? I went, I'm not on the bench. He went, I think you are, like. I went, I'm fucking not.
And he went, you bat yourself then.
I'm telling you, you're going on the bench. And I went, I'm not. I went, how am I on the bench? He went, I'm just giving you a rest. He said, look, you've been playing really well, but I'm going to try Gerard. I went, no. I went, I'm not having it. And he went, what do you mean you're not having it? I went, you can get fucked. I was really annoyed. And I went, you can get fucked. And he went, excuse me. And I went, you can get fucked. And all the cocks went, steady, steady. And I went, you can fuck off and all. Sorry. Arthur was like, I think you need to calm down, son. I think you need to calm down. I went, I'm calming down. I said, I'm furious. I said, I'm playing really well. You want to drop me? I went, I'm not having it. And he went, you're on the bench. As simple as that. I went, stick your bench up your ass. And I stormed out. Anyway, Arthur Cox and Derek Fazzatelli came after me and he went, Gaffer's furious. And I went, oh, is he now? I went, so am I. I said, I'm not getting on the bench. And he went, just go on the bench. I went, no, I'm not. I said, I'm playing really well. I am not going on the bench. I said, I should be playing. And I said, ask any of them lads, do they want me to play? I said, every one of them say yeah. And he went, but the gaffer's made his mind up. And I went, well, so have I. And he went, you're not going on the bench? I went, no. Anyway, Kevin called me back. He went, have you calmed down? I went, no. He went, are you going on the bench? I went, no. And he went, well, it's best you go home then. I went, all right then, I'll get home. So I went home. They got beat. And not the best decision I've ever made, if I'm being brutally honest. And they got beat. Gerard Vikens got injured within about 5 minutes as well. And so they didn't have anybody to come in that position. So it all went Pete Tong for me. So all the lads had the day off the next day. So I went in the next day and I had Arthur Cox went, he wants to see you, son. He wants to see you. And I thought, oh, shit. And I mean, obviously all through the like last couple of the previous couple of days, I was like, oh, you idiot. And I went up and he went, you're out. And I went, what do you mean I'm out? And he went, you're out. And I went, what do you mean? And I, like a dick, I went, what do you mean I'm out? And he went, and he left phone, he went, you're out. And I went, what, you're selling me? I said, I've got 3 years left in my contract. And he went, you're out. He went, Mickey Adams has been on the phone. You're going to Leicester. I went, oh, am I? He went, yeah, he says, we've agreed. I went, I ain't. And he went, I think you best go and speak to him. I went, nah. I said, I've got 3 years left in my contract. I said, so, you know, I think I can get back in the team. And he went, I promise you, as long as I'm manager, you're never getting back into this team. I went, all right, then, we'll see. So
it's like a little, school kid type thing, isn't it?
You're
a dick. No, you're a dick. My dad's harder than yours.
But you're out. What do you mean about just leaning across like that? And honestly, we were this far away. Went, what do you mean about? You're out. It was so embarrassingly bad. When I look back, I've actually spoke to Kevin about this before, and he was just giggling. He was like, "How embarrassing were we?" And I went, "I know." And I was going to go, "I know."
But I didn't. You were embarrassing. No, you were embarrassing.
So I went home. And went to see Kevin again, and we just sat down, and we had a chat, and I basically sort of said, what's the score? He went, I can't have you doing that. He says, it's just impossible for me. He says, as a manager, for you to show the way that you did, and I totally got it because I was out of order. I totally regret it. But I just felt as though, because I was passionate and I wanted to play. And it didn't help. The result went the wrong way as well.
With him coming off the
bench.
Yeah. And Gerard getting injured, and I was like, oh, if anything, it's like a storm in a port. It was just like everything went wrong.
Did you apologise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did.
But his mind was made up?
Yeah. I mean, Kevin was like that. He was just like, no, that's it. And I said, listen, I'll do it. I'll go on the reserves. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll get on the bench.
It sounds like when I tell our Oscar to come off computer and he's like, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not, you are, you're not. And then 10 minutes later, he's like, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry. Please.
I'll go on the bench. He went, you're not going on the bench. I'll go on the bench. He went, you're not going on the bench. please, I'll go on the bench. I'll go on the bench.
Do you not want to leave City then?
No, because it was a fantastic club. Met some amazing people there. Some people that are still there. But that was, I've had two big regrets in football. I mean, obviously injuries is one of them, and I had three really bad injuries that kept me out for a year each. But one was turning Liverpool down, and the other one was having an argument with Kevin. But I felt at that particular time, and I kind of still feel, he should have still played me, because I was the best player at that particular time to play in that position. But what am I going to do? I don't want to play reserve team football for 3 years. I want to play first team football, so I went to Leicester. And that ended up being the worst decision I ever made.
6 months you were there?
Yeah.
Why do you not think it worked?
Did not get on the manager at all. At all. And as it turned out, he was one of these managers that wanted to just run the arse off you all the time. Well, I couldn't do that. I had a thing called compartment syndrome. I cannot run continuously. I can play games because games is classed as a fartlek. So I can stop, start. I can't run until I'm sick. And then because my calves will tear. So I ran, tore army calves. So I couldn't play the first game of the season. I couldn't play the next game. So I was out for about 3 weeks for the first part of the season. Missed all this, missed all the other games. And I just went, you know, I can't do this, to be quite honest. I eventually got fit after weeks and weeks because I'd tore my calves. Anyway, we played in the Christmas time. We played Everton away. And we were winning 2-0. We were comfy. I think we were coming to like the 85th minute. And I'd shout across to the bench, "Me hammy's going to go. Get me off. If you get me off before it even gives that tug, I said, I'll be absolutely fine." And he refused. So, of course, there was a long ball over the top. I've gone sprinting for it. Bang, it's gone. So I'm out. Next day, because I had treatment. And I was sat, I literally put my backside on the bench. And Dave was just about to do some stuff, like ultrasound and stuff. And Alan, remember Alan Cork, centre forward?
Yeah.
Alan Cork went, "Gaffer wants to see you." So I walked in, he went, "You're out." And I went, "What do you mean I'm out?" I said, "I'm injured."
"What do you mean?
What do you mean?"
I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "I'm injured. What on earth do you want me to do?" And he just was like, "Out, just go out." And fobbed me off. And I went, "I'm not leaving, like." I said, "I won't pay it up." And he went, "You'll not see another penny." And I went, "All right, then fine." I said, "Fine, not a problem." I had 3 years left in my contract, which was worth a good couple of million. And I just went, "You know what? Stick your money up your ass." And walked out the door, and I didn't really play again after that, to be fair.
Oh, Stevie, I went over America. Stevie. Don't leave the door behind.
Yeah, I did. Just had enough.
Don't leave it behind. I can't believe you've just walked away.
I left it. I left it all.
How
I
didn't old were want you at this point?
Well, the thing is, I'm like I've told you before, money never orientated me in any way, shape, or form. So why should I take money from a contract which I'm never going to fulfil? That's why I walked away.
Were you
from
not
all
of
that.
The opinion of, well, if I've got 3 years, if he has a bad 6 months, he's gone. I've still got 2.5 years.
I know, but I was one of these where I just thought, do you know what? I was relatively comfortable with money because of that. So I just thought, I don't need the hassle. I'd found out a couple of years later when I got divorced, I wasn't relatively comfortable.
So Lester, is there any chance we get that walking half of that door back?
Yeah. Any chance? But look, I think sometimes life just throws up these different things. You got divorced, you have a bad time, you know, lads have been on here, I've been to rehab and stuff like that with different stuff. But you just try and think, well, what can I do to make it better? How can I make my life better? So you just start again. And to be quite honest, I'm in a place at the moment where I'm coming down. You know, for a fact, I'm with you and Chris with the Wargans. Brilliant lads. We do the golf days. We all work on different jobs and stuff like that. I've got a great house, lovely wife. And you just crack on and enjoy life.
Still phoning Leicester up.
Yeah. How old were you at that point at Leicester?
31, 32.
Right.
I left Leicester and then I joined Bolton under Sam. I was getting paid $5,000 a week. I was basically just kind of to be a player that was on the bench that would come on and just in case and always be there as a kind of a safeguard. And I can remember coming to the end of the season, I spoke to Phil Brown and Neil Mack, obviously two massive Newcastle lads. And they were like, Sam always likes to do these evaluations at the end of seasons and stuff like that, and where you're at and where you can progress and stuff like that. And they went, listen, you've got another contract. You've absolutely sorted. So I went in to see Sam, and he'd gone, listen, 32. He said, probably going to go for another young centre-half just to like kind of cover what we've got. And I've gone, listen, not a problem. I said, I've got irons to the fire. I'm going to play in America just in case. Anyway, he'd signed one of the lads from Real Madrid who was 30 bloody five, didn't he? I was like, that kicked me in the teeth. So I finished, and I went to New England Revolution in Boston, and I played for 8 months there. Loved it, great, thoroughly enjoyed it. And then I came back and retired, and I retired for about 6 to 8 months. And then I got a phone call off Martin Scott, who was assistant manager to a bloke called Neil Cooper, who was manager at Hartlepool. And he said, listen, we're going for promotion. Do you want to come in the dressing room and help the lads? And I was like, no, to be quite honest, I'm kind of coming on 34 now. I'll just leave it. And he was like, listen, we'll pay you 500 quid a week. And I went, I'm not bothered about the money. I went, do you know what, where are you training? And he went, oh, we're Maidencastle, but opposite. I went, all right, okay, no problem. So I signed till the end of the season, but I knew very, very quickly I'd made the wrong decision, because in the training sessions, you've got young kids that's 18, 19, 20, 21, and they're flying about all over the place. And you, when the ball's there, you're thinking, I can get that. And then it's gone. And you're thinking, oh, shit, no, I can't.
That's Steve Howie will play for Newcastle and Man City, and I'm just nicking in front of him.
Yeah. So my decision was, after the end of that season, I went, I'm not playing anymore. Actually, Hartlepool offered me another contract. Can you stop there for another year? And I went, no. I said, for that reason, I didn't want players thinking, hold on a second, he's played for England, Man City, Newcastle, and he's a piece of cake. So I didn't like the days where they do the running. So I just thought, no, that's it. So I stopped. And to be quite honest, I didn't do anything for about 6 months. Didn't do anything kind of productive, if I'm being brutally honest, but nothing that caused any issues. And then I thought, you know what, I'll get all my coaching badges, because I just thought I would like to get back into football after that break. So I got all my coaching badges, every one, and then you can't bloody get in, because the bloody the managers won't let you in, because then it's a threat to their job.
Yeah.
So they therefore thought, after about 3-4 years of trying to do that, I thought, right, media's the way to go. So luckily enough, I've been involved in that now.
We'll just have a quick piss and then we'll get on to England, because I think we've not touched on it, have we?
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
He talks about being blessed. I mean, the managers and the players, but that, for me, in our generation, Euro 96 especially, everybody behind you and everything, it must have been some experience.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at kind of the list of just managers, you know, kind of when I started, it was Jim Smith, Ozzy Ardiles, Kevin Keegan, Kenny Dalglish, Roo Tullard, Sir Bobby Robson. And with England, it was Terry Venables. I mean, only one time with Glenn Hoddle. But just the build-up before the Euro 96, I can remember Kevin sort of saying, every time we're playing any games, listen, if you do well against this one, he says, I'm on the phone to Terry, and I'll be telling them this, and I'll be telling them that. And as I said, the lads used to constantly sort of say, oh, easy dad, all the time with Kevin. And I can remember I was driving home from training, and it was in 94, and I got a phone call, and I had to pull over because there was no like kind of connect to the car thing, and I pulled over, and I just basically thought it was the lads taking the mic, because when I answered it, he went, is that Stephen? I went, yeah. And he went, it's Terry. And I went, Terry who? And he went, Terry Venables. And I went, fuck off. And I put the phone down.
Fuck you, Terry.
And anyway, because I just thought the boys would be like, kind of, just pretend it's Terry Venables, let's put them on speakerphone and just have a giggle. Yeah. You know what the boys are like? They're horrible. And it happened again, and I did the same. Anyway, I get another phone call, and it comes up, Gaffer. So I've rang, I've picked her up, and I've gone, hello. And he went, can you stop putting the phone down to the England manager, please, and tell him to F off? And I went, is it really him? And he went, can you just take the call, please? So anyway, about 5 minutes later, I just sat in the car, and I was like, is this really true? So the phone rang, and obviously it was Terry Venables, and he went, Steve, how are you feeling? How's things? You've done really well. Would you like to meet up with, there's a group of us meeting up, we've got Nigeria at such and such, and I was like, is this for real? And he was like,
yeah, yes. Yeah, apologise at any time. So look, Terry, I'm really sorry, but I thought the lads...
I did at the end, but not initially, because I was still in shock. And I basically just sort of said, yes, of course, absolutely. And then I sort of said, listen, I'm really sorry about... and he went like, he says, yeah, I've had that a few times. And I can remember going down, and we stopped at a hotel called Burnham Beaches, was in Slough. And I can remember I got there so early. It was ridiculous because I was just terrified. I thought, I can't be late. I can't be this. Can't be that. And I sat there and I'm thinking, oh, there's him coming in. There's that one coming in. There's that one coming in. And I'm thinking, wow, these are absolute superstars. And I'm thinking, I have to sort of think, I've got to introduce myself because they're not going to know who I am.
Even though you played against them?
Yeah. But do you know when you have that in, like, kind of, all of a sudden I'm with the big boys here. I'm not messing about, even though I know for a fact I've done all right and you know, things have gone okay. I'm still thinking, you know, Tony Adams, Platt, Shearer, I played with him, but, you know, I'm just like kind of, I played against him, but I will play with him. All the other players that's in this squad, I'm thinking, oh my good God. So I'm going, hiya, Am. And they'll be going, hi, Steve, how are you doing? And the lads were absolutely brilliant. So getting into that bit and then building up to the Euro 96, I can remember we went to Hong Kong. I mean, obviously, there's the infamous dentist chair.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Are you present?
Of course. I won the competition. I beat Terry Sheridan in the final. And not the proudest moment, if I'm being brutally honest. And... yeah, I mean, obviously, I think Terry pulled me to one side when I was in Hong Kong and basically sort of said, you're in the squad. There was a few lads. It was so awful actually coming back because there was a big group of us and some were in and some weren't. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't actually celebrate. Listen, some lads knew they were going to be in. I didn't. But, of course, to get that vote of confidence from somebody like him that's done what he's done, is, you know, you just think, wow, I must be doing something okay.
Was there any high-profile lads that thought they might have been in that weren't, if you remember?
I think you look at maybe Dennis Wise, maybe. I'm just trying, I can't really think who wasn't in or who got negated from that squad.
Did you know that you were in before the dentist chair?
No.
Right.
No, it was at the end.
So did you think maybe that I've kicked myself in the nuts?
No, no, that was just like everybody was there, in all fairness. Right. I know there was not everybody. Obviously, we had people like Gary Neville and one or two others that were, in all fairness to them, good pros. We weren't. Not like detrimental to them, but just we went out for a night out, you know what I mean? And it just went, it was a night out that just went completely pear-shaped, but it was fabulous at the same time. Don't get me wrong, it was a fantastic night. I think that what makes it worse is the fact of the ripped T-shirts and stuff like that. That makes as though, it looks as though we are completely and utterly gone off the map. But it wasn't that. It was basically Brian Robson was wearing a Versace shirt. And we had all Umbro gear on because we weren't allowed to bring, like, not that we weren't allowed, but we just didn't think we'd be out. So you didn't bring any dress wear. So we just wore an Umbro top. I mean, we looked like paraffin lamps, in all fairness. So, of course, Robbo was wearing this Versace top. And I can't remember who it was, but somebody just went, that top does not look right knee, and just went and ripped it. And Robbo was going, no, it's Versace. And then somebody grabbed hold of somebody else's top, and then somebody else's top. And then before you know it, you see the iconic picture. I think there's me, Terry Sheridan, I think Stevie Mack's in there, and I can't remember who else is in there. and or Gaza, sorry, the main one. And it just looks as though it's an absolute carnage. I've got the hairiest chest in the world, apparently. But we all actually got back to the hotel absolutely fine. We all got up the next morning absolutely fine. But of course, the British press got onto it. And we knew going into the first game against Switzerland that we had to get a right result, but ultimately we didn't. We drew 1-1. Don't get me wrong, that incident ended being like kind of a big thing for the squad, which actually brought us all together because we got absolutely battered by the press.
Strength in arms, like bring everything.
And then I can remember we played. Remember the Dublin game when there was the fans that had wrecked it, and we all had a kind of, the game got postponed halfway through because the hooligans, the fans like kicking off and stuff like that. And I can remember Tony Adams getting everybody together and going, close ranks. That they were the words to use, close ranks. And that's what happened with the Euro squad, lads. I mean, I felt good because I kind of wasn't part of it because I ended up getting injured after the first game. But the togetherness of that group at that particular time was absolutely frightening. It just so happened where after the Switzerland game where the lads did get battered, their commitment and resolveness in every single thing that it did was unbelievable. And it just went, like the Scotland game, Holland game, Spain game, all that. It was just amazing. The Stuart Pearce penalty, the Gaza goal, all this. And then it was a beautiful summer, and all the flags and it's coming home, that song and all that kind of thing. It ended up being an amazing tournament, and a tournament we should have won, actually, because, you know, we battered Germany. Gaza, right at the end, kind of just hesitated before he slides in and just misses at the far post. But that's just a game, one of them things that we do.
What was he like, Gaza, around the dressing room?
I spoke about Tino Spray and like Space Cadet, but now you've got an English version of a Space Cadet, to be quite honest. Unbelievable. I've got so many stories. I mean, we all know we do the after dinner scene and stuff. I've left so much out of this podcast, which is ridiculous, but I'm not allowed to see it, but I will see on different things. But you've got Gaza, he's an absolute nightmare. I mean, so brilliant. Everybody loves him, but he's a complete nutter pest. During 96, obviously, we stopped at Burnham Beaches in Slough. And I don't know how he did it, but he ended up getting into everybody's room and tipping it. And tipping it, what I mean by that is just flipping everything so everything's all over the place and ruining your room because everybody rooms on their own. Not like at club level where you room with somebody. So you'd hear one of the lads when they come back from training, they'd go, Gascoigne, you know, Gascoigne. The room is absolutely ruined. And after we'd been knocked out by Germany, there was a few of us, I mean, everybody was down at the bar, just having a couple of beers and stuff like that. And there was me, Jimmy Redknapp, Steve McManaman and Steve Stone. And we were talking about Gaza, about how he's done all the rooms and stuff like that. Anyway, me and Stoney, for some reason, thought, right, let's do him. Because he'd done everybody's. He'd annoyed everybody. So me and Stoney thought, right, you know, we'll get his key. So we got his key, we went up to his room. Gaz has got OCD. So we thought, it's too simple and it's too, you know, easy, really, just to rip his room apart and all that kind of thing. And it's not fair, really, let's be honest, on the hotel staff. So he was all packed. He was all ready. And he had a Louis Vuitton bag. And back in the day, Louis Vuitton was Louis Vuitton. I mean, afterwards, we all got Larry Vuittons and stuff like that. I certainly got one. We opened it up and it was all packed dead nicely. You know, everything was pristine. It was ironed right in the right place. The socks, the T-shirts, the jumpers, everything, toilet bag. So we thought, should we just mess that up? And we've gone, me and Stoney sat on the bed and just went, this is too easy. What? Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take everything out apart from the bottom layer. I weed in it and Stoney shit in it.
There we go.
And then we put everything back. So we basically shit and pissed in his bag and placed everything nicely, zipped it up and put it back to where it was. So Gazza, when he comes, when he wakes up the next morning, he opens his bag up, opens it up, cushy, not a problem. Not a, maybe it's not a big smell or whatever, but he's just thinking, oh, I'm a bit rough or whatever, and zips it back up. But he, after the Euros, he got married to his missus, Cheryl, and they'd gone away on holiday. But if you remember that summer, it was absolutely bloody red hot. So, of course, that bag has been in his house with shit and piss for 2.5-3 weeks. So you can imagine the smell when he got back. But I didn't get found out. I think this might be the first time I've never actually mentioned my name. I know Stoney got mentioned, but I've never been mentioned. So this is the very first time I've actually mentioned.
Another exclusive.
3-week-old boulder in his watch bag.
What was the crap with the physio?
That's an
with
awful
him.
Story, that, by the way. Or the physio. What, I mean, if... You know yourself, obviously, if you've got family at Sunderland or Newcastle or you've got Barnsley or Rotherham or whatever it is, normally what you'll say to your kit man or whoever it is, just say if I was at Man City and I'm playing Sunderland or Newcastle, I would ask the physio or the kit man, can you drive my car up? Because we're not allowed to drive it up for insurance reasons and stuff like that. So they would drive the car up. So after the game, you could jump in your own car that's at the ground and then drive to your mum and dad's or whatever and then have the Saturday night at your family's house and then maybe come down the Sunday, if special permission, possibly, to come down on the Monday. And what Gazza used to do is he used to tell the physio, oh, can you drive me car to such and such? And then he'd be on the bus, let the physio drive away, and when the physio drove away, he'd ring up the police and tell the police that his car's been stolen. So the coppers would hunt his car down. He'd give the registration. So the car would basically take the route of what the bus would. And about half an hour along the road on the A19 or wherever it is, you could see a car pulled into the lay-by with some blue lights flashing with a police car behind. And it would be the physio being pulled out of the car with his hands on the bonnet. And the bus would drive past slowly and all the boys banging on the window. And guys are giving the V signs, although, like, the, excuse my words, but the banker sign and going, knobhead. But that's what he used to do because he was absolutely brilliant, man.
It's genius.
That's incredible crack, isn't it? Incredible. Do you know in that Euro 96, were you allowed to drink at all in the hotel or stuff like that? You know, like you played...
During the tournament.
Yeah, you played Spain. Teddy Reynolds was going, right, lads, get your things down to the bar. Little warm down tomorrow, crack on.
No, not really. I think we all always came back. I think maybe, you know, the lads might have a beer. But I think that will be it. I think the vast majority, if any, really did. I mean, look, you could have a glass of red wine or something with your meal, but I think the rest of, like, all the boys really realised how serious and how big this competition was. So a lot of the lads just kind of, you know, that might have even poured themselves a glass of red wine, but didn't even touch it.
Yeah. I bet you were just exhausted as well, though. You know, yeah, about
it's not just the exhaustion of the game, though, Chris. It was the whole country.
Yeah.
The hysteria.
You know, the lads just like known it's the whole country's looking at you. So for the sake of even, I mean, look, listen, is a glass of red wine going to do you any harm? No. But the lads were absolutely just like, no, we just get up the next morning, we train, we look forward to the next game. It was so dedicated. It was absolutely scary. It was the best focus I've ever seen from a group of players in all my career.
You know, like, obviously there weren't so much social media and that in 96. Were the papers rounding about the hotel? So could you go down the reception and they'd be, oh, we're like, right, we don't want any press or nobody knowing what the papers are writing or all like that, or were there just papers where you could just read about what's going off around the country?
No, what we did was the lads had put together where if you did an interview, you had to mention songs or song titles. So you had to bring them in, the answers that you had to give. So it was actually, the lads had to think, just in case they were asked different questions.
Yeah.
Actually, I think one of the best ones was Gareth Southgate. I thought he was absolutely brilliant on different things that he did. But because we could see where we were in the hotel, there's like this massive lawn and there was a box that was just put up. because obviously the box could show where we were, the opposite way, and we could see them live and the light was on. So we could see them watching on the TV. And I know there's like a 30-second feedback or a 10-second feedback or something like that. But we would basically sort of, the lads would give interviews and mention songs. So you've got idiots in the squad as well. So one or two of the lads, they're just sort of saying, while they run live, somebody go out and do naked cartwheels. So you'd see cartwheels, you know, you'd see some sort of movement behind Gary Lineker, whoever it was, doing an interview with whoever it was. And you'd see this movement and you'd wonder what it was, but it was one of the lads doing cartwheels.
It was just pissing ourselves off that you couldn't really make it out.
Oh, you can't make it out, it's pitch black. But you could see somebody flipping in between the lights and it was one of the lads. Or running past or something, just like holding the hands up.
But we'll get a Southgate song that he dropped in.
Do you know what? I can't remember what he did, but I think it was... that was like kind of Culture Club or something like that. I can't remember what he actually did, but he was one of the best ones.
Did you play well? Well, yeah, to be fair, but we could have come a chameleon and play better.
There were some great ones, and a few of the lads did it, like, and a few of the lads were like really, really good, obviously thought about it quite quite in depth.
Did you ever get involved with the Faith Healers?
Oh my good God, this is a great story. I'll go with, after the Euro 96, Glenn Hoddle took over, and the very first squad I was involved in, and he pulled me after the first training session and sort of said, listen, Stephen, I've got this woman that I would like you to see. I think she'd be absolutely brilliant. And I said, well, who's that? And he'd mentioned a lady called Eileen Drury. And I knew what she was about. So I just sort of said, listen, Gaffer, I'm going to have to stop you there. I said, I've been to see somebody similar, and there was a woman called Betty Shine, and it's not for me. And he went, listen, that's fine. He says, thanks for being up front. At least you've gone there. You've gone with an open mind, not a problem. Never picked me again, did he? Twice. But the reason behind that...
Eileen were on fucking £500 a man, that's why.
The reason behind that was... Kevin Keegan's wife, Jean, she'd read these books of a woman called Betty Shine, and Betty Shine's a faith healer. Now, I'm dead open. I'll try anything. And so Jean had said to Kevin Keegan, I think you should get a few of the players to go and see this Betty Shine. I'd spoke to my mum about it. My mum had gone, oh, go and see her. She's read some brilliant books and all this kind of thing. And I'm thinking... all right, okay. I mean, you know, my mum's one of these that she'll make these bands with it, like colours that's supposed to be positive colours and stuff like that. Fine, I'll wear them and then I'll just chuck them off because I just think it's not for me. But it doesn't mean to say that's for somebody else. If that's their bag, then yeah, I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to criticise it. So anyway, Derek Wright pulls me and Alan Shearer and sort of says, listen, the gaffer's been on. He wants you to go and see this woman called Betty Shine. Faith healer. I mean, I was like, looked at each other, gone, okay, right, okay. So anyway, we travel all the way down to God knows where in the country, right down south, and we go and see this woman. First of all, none of us were on board with this. You know, we like the proper science, the proper stuff that you're supposed to do. The other big mistake that she made was when she was wanting to do her stuff, she had the three of us in the room. What she should have done is isolate us.
Yeah.
So we could have took her seriously, but we didn't because she had the three of us in. So I was up first. So I'm lying on the bed and she's put a hand on my leg and she's gone, right, you should feel some heat. So can you feel the heat? Can you feel the heat? And she's whispering, can you feel the heat? And I'm thinking, I can feel the heat because your bloody hands are warm. Nothing else, in all fairness. And I'm going, it's a little bit warm. So me going, it's a little bit warm. She was set off. And then Derek Wright set off. The shoulders going and stuff like that. And I've gone, that's getting warm, Betty. She's gone. Well, that's cracking him up. So I'm playing to Alan Derek and I'm going, oh, it's hot. It's hot. She's going, feel hot. Feel hot. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? basically, I got feeling nout, absolutely nout. So anyway, she more or less thinks that she's done her thing. She went, "You could be healed. You could be healed." And she's whispering, you could be healed, but you can be healed. And she's whispering it. "I think it's time. I think it's time to move on." So I'm going, "All right, okay, fine." I'll get off the bed. Shira gets on, does the same. He's messing about as well. Absolute. Do you know what? As I said, I'm one of these where if you believe in all this kind of thing, then fine, not a problem. I thought it was an absolute nonsense. Shira did, so did Derek. We believe in proper science and stuff like that. So we've done all this kind of thing, and we've just thought nothing of it. So when Glenn Hoddle basically sort of said about Alan Jury, I've told him that. Unbeknownst to me, when I never getting picked again, I was with Ray Parler. And when Ray Parler, I was doing some stuff for Sky, and Ray Parler went, "Hey, boy, what happened to you in Glen Oddle and all this kind of thing?" And I've gone, "Oh, it was Eileen Drury." And he went, "No, you're joking." He says, "Were you the same? Did you get fobbed off the squad because of Eileen Drury?" I went, "Oh, yeah, because I just thought it was nonsense and all that kind of thing." And he went, "Oh, did you not hear about me in Gaza before the World Cup of France?" I went, "No." It's scary to think this woman had so much kind of
pull,
on the squad and stuff like that. So basically, she'd organised a room in the hotel where there was a chair in the middle of a room, and she would sit them down, she'd go behind them, and she would whoosh with her hands and stuff like that. So Ray Parler comes in and he says, "I think it's absolute nonsense." He says, "'Cause I've gone in," and he says, "I've sat down." He went, "Eileen, just a little trim off the back, please." And she's gone, "What?" And he went, "Just a little bit off the back, please." And she went, "Get out." "What do you mean?" She went, "Get out." And he went, "Unbelievably, that was me out of the World Cup squad." He says, "But the best one," he said, "Gaz has gone in." He said, "He sat down and she's basically," is that camera going to see me on this one? Let's see. Paul Gascoigne.
Put it, speaking to that though, Steve.
Right. And she's basically going whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And then she's picking it up, going to the window and going, "Go, go, go." Same again, same again, same again. "Go, go, go." So Gaz is laughing. And she's going, "Paul, what are you laughing for?" And, she said, "What are you doing?" And she went, "Paul, I'm getting rid of all the evil spirits." She said, "It's just so it's going to be just me and you, just me and you." But he's still giggling. Goes behind him, "Go, go, whoosh, whoosh," all this kind of stuff. He said, "I went on for about 20 minutes. He says, Gaz is still like sitting there. And he says, all of a sudden his shoulders start going. She went, "Oh my God. Good God, Paul, what's going on? What's going on?" He went, "I'm sorry, Alan, it's the evil spirits outside pulling funny faces." She's gone, "Get out." So she's fobbed him out. So he's gone. And if you remember the story, he trashed his room and everything, didn't he? But Eileen Drury basically picked the squad. So Gaz is just trying to have a laugh and she's gone, "Out, he's out." And that was it. That was the Glen Hoddle thing. It was absolutely bloody ridiculous. Absolute mental. But the daft thing about that as well was when me, Shearer and Derek Wright had gone down there, we'd come back to the hotel and we just thought, listen, we'll have something to eat and we'll go out and we'll just have a couple of beers. Alan Shearer cannot go out. Have a couple of beers, let's be honest, it's Alan Shearer. You know, he's amazing and he's so well recognised. So we go out and we just have a couple of beers. We went to this pub called The Star. And of course, word got round, it's Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. Not Steve Howie, Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer, Alan Shearer. So anyway, we're having a couple of beers and stuff like that. And then we've just gone, listen, we're going back to the hotel. We're just having a couple of drinks back to the hotel. So a few people came back. So we're having a couple of drinks back at the hotel. There's a few people that's come from the pub to this place where we were, which had been recommended by Betty Shine. And so anyway, after about another 3 or 4 hours, me, Al and Derek, we've gone to bed. So we've gone to bed, we've got in our car the next morning, we've drove all the way back. And then the following day, we've got into training. And we're getting the vibe that the manager is not happy, not happy at all. So we're thinking, oh, why not? Apparently, our hotel that we were at, there was no locks on the door, so people have just gone into different rooms and just stopped on the night and basically trashed rooms and stuff like that. We didn't know. We've gone to bed. So anyway, after training, which Kevin has took, me and Al's obviously doing rehab and stuff like that, and Kevin goes, listen, I want to see all of yous, in all fairness, but Al, I'll start with you. So I'm in my training kit, Al's in his training kit, Derek's in his training kit, and Al goes in first. So I think he's going to be in there for a while. So I get changed. Bear in mind, it's how Christmas do. So I've gone up, and we're going from Chester Street to Newcastle. Al's gone in his training kit because he knows he's going to go home and get changed and then come back. So I get changed. Now, I'm in fancy dress. So I'm in an emu costume. So do you know one of those emu costumes where you put your legs in? So your legs are like the bird's legs. And then you've got that bonnet around you type thing. And then the legs stick over. And then I've got this long neck emu. You're laughing. I've got this long neck emu. But there's this metal bit so you can move the neck and stuff like that. So I've got changed into that. I know what Derek Wright's getting changed to. So I'm getting changed and I'm sitting down. The door opens and I stand up. The gaffer and Al are laughing and carrying on. Like, oh, yeah, have a great day, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, that's not too bad. So he's come out and he's looked at me and he went, what, again, excuse my language, what the fucking hell have you got on? I've got this emu thing on, right? I look like a right twat, to be fair. And he went, get in. So I've got in and I've sat down.
So you've had to go in for a meeting as...
As the emu. And I've got the metal bit in my hand... With a head.
Lay on his desk.
Do you know the head? Do you know the head? And I'm thinking, I don't want to put it in between my legs, so I'll just hold it. Right? So I'm holding the head. And I've just moved the head to the one side so I can see him. Right? And he's battering me. Absolutely battering me. You've got no idea. Betty Shine's been on the phone to my missus. My missus has been on the phone to me. You've left the hotel rooms in a right state. And I've gone, oh, look, we haven't done anything. Anyway, he's caning me. I didn't know, but apparently what I've done is I've turned the head of the emu and put its head down as though it's like...
getting a bollocking.
Yeah, getting hammered. And he went, put that fucking emu's head down. He went, where's Derek Wright? And he opened the door and he went, Derek, are you coming in here or what? Ray Thompson, who was the kit man, who's been there years and still there, and he went, he's getting ready, gaffer, every 2 minutes. And I've gone, oh, shit. Because I know what Derek's getting dressed into. Bearing in mind, Derek Wright is, like, an unbelievable physio, one of the best in the country, by not. Honestly, he's unbelievable. And I've gone, oh, shit, he's going to flip here. He's going to flip. I've got an EMU costume on, and Derek Wright's going to turn up in this. Anyway, Kevin shuts the door, and I'm sat there, and I've got the EMU thing. Derek opens the door. He's got a pink leotard top on, a tutu dress, pink tights, and Dr. Martens. Derek's a big bloke. He opens the door and Kevin goes, I am fucking speechless. I am speechless, Derek. Sit down. So I'm sat there. Derek's in his pink tutu outfit. I've got an emu outfit on and I'm kind of nodding away to get abused. And he's going, you're a disgrace, you're this, you're that, you're other. And I'm thinking, please, can we not see the funny side of this? And Kevin's looked and he's just looked and he went, I'm embarrassed. He went, I've got a current England international wearing a fucking emu costume. And I've got one of the best physios in the country wearing a fucking tutu. Fucking get out.
Oh, funny man.
And me and Derek were trying to get out the door at the same time when we hit each other. My neck got out. Derek's toffee's tutu went out. Oh, it was honestly, if you could have pictured it, it was just unbelievable. But that just got, I mean, it was so funny. If it wasn't, I mean, it was awful because we just got absolutely battered off the manager. But we just, me and Derek looked at each other and went, how's she getting away with that? They're all laughing and carrying on. And we've been battered. The blue-eyed boy gets away with a bloody murder again.
Oh, brilliant.
We'll finish on that, eh?
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for your time.
Top man, Stevie.
Incredible.
Really appreciate that.
Incredible.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today.